Children's book author Walter Dean Myers died Tuesday at 76. Many of his characters were African-American, as he was. In books like Monster and Scorpions, he mined his own past, how he hung out with gangs, dropped out of high school, but eventually published over 100 books. In April, we spoke with Walter Dean Myers about how diversity in books can help underprivileged kids who fall behind in school as early as the third grade.
One of the tools we can use to try to bring them back into the mainstream is transmitting values in books. When you go to a book and you see your circumstances, here is a poor child, here is a child who doesn't have breakfast every morning. When they see themselves, they're saying, look, I am valuable.
Walter Dean Myers also wanted kids to write their own stories. We also spoke with him in 2012 about his book, Just Write, Here's How, which is filled with suggestions, including assemble a collage of pictures of characters, something Walter did himself.
I put it on the wall behind my computer. So every day when I go to sit down, I look up, there are my characters looking back at me.
What a great idea. Like clipped out from magazines and stuff?
From magazines, from photographs I have around the house. It's a wonderful thing.
Well, there's so many more ideas. We're going to get to them. But it is quite something, you know, how you came to this from where you came from. You write your mother died when you were very young. You went to live with family friends in Harlem, had a speech problem and trouble in school. They usually follow. But then your uncle was murdered when you were 14. Your foster father went into a depression. Your foster mother took to drinking. And yet, as tough a story as that is, it helped form you, shape you.
It did help form me and it shaped me because I needed to find something beside just my immediate circumstances. And as luck would have it, I found books. Actually, I found a book edited by written Hallie Burnett. It's called World's Best. It's a collection of writings by Nobel Prize winners and others. And I said, my God, these people are out there waiting for me? I found my tribe.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've done is I've done hundreds of interviews in prisons, in juvenile detention centers, and also in group homes. And I see so many of these kids who need an older person around them, a mentor. They need guidance and they need help. And if you give them any kind of guidance and help, they'll take to it.
Yeah. Well, so you do that in the work that you're doing, talking to kids across the country, and in the directions you give them in writing. Let's talk a little bit about the book, Just Write, Here's How. Tell us about some of the techniques that you give them. There's encouragement, there's philosophy, but then there's, you know, nuts and bolts techniques. For instance, you have a 6-box model and a 4-box model. 6-box for fiction, 4-box for nonfiction. You draw boxes and then you put what in them?
Well, I divide a book into a fictional book into 6 steps. I know that in that first step, if you establish an interesting character and an interesting problem, not only will you are you more apt to finish the book, but the reader will also. I know this is an essential first step. I know an essential second step is to try the obvious things for the person to solve his problem. The third thing is he has to rethink the problem, or she has to rethink the problem, because now the character is getting deeper into the problem, and as the character rethinks, then the reader rethinks. The fourth step is growth. That's the reward for reading any book. You want to see character growth. You want to see this character grow in a way that perhaps you can also grow. And then the fifth step is to have a final attempt in which the character is either successful or sometimes not successful. But this final attempt reflects the growth. And the sixth step is just wrapping up the loose ends. But if I spend the time, force myself to spend the time in thinking through these things, I'm much more apt to finish the book.
Right.
And that's the key.
So you put into this 6-box model for fiction, you start with the character, developing the character and giving him or her a problem. You take it all the way through, you know, what are the solutions? What's the growth? It's very Homeric, you know. What's the action the character is going to take, the resolution? And then you give examples. You have scraps of paper that you actually worked on, and you show us how you've taken characters through those boxes. And you have to do that, right? It's sort of like you have to do the bones of it. You can't just say, I'm just going to sit back and it'll all pour out. You have to do the outline.
And I do this all the time, wherever I am. I do it in bed at night. I often wake up with a pen in my hand because I've fallen asleep. I go to sleep with this. If I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, sometimes I'm working on it as I sleep. I love it.
You've also been able to see the impact of your writing on others. You write at one point, you saw someone reading your book Monster and putting it down, and you got to watch her, think about it?
She's thinking about it, and I realize that for this brief moment, I've occupied her mind. Something that one of my characters has done, maybe she's approving, maybe perhaps she's disapproving, but that character is there. That character lives for her, yeah. And that's a wonderful feeling.
Well, as you say, how beautiful a moment for a boy from Harlem who loved to read.
Exactly.
And I'm wondering, do you think your path is going to be able to be followed from young people anywhere, white or black, who are in disadvantaged situations? I mean, I don't know that they're going into the library anymore and picking up Balzac.
That's correct, but I am determined to use my life as a template for these kids. There was a time I was visiting a school, and I spoke to second graders, and a little girl, after this visit, pulled my pants leg, and she said, "You know, you're not so much." And
what a compliment!
I was taken aback at first, but then I realized that what she was actually saying was that I was an ordinary person. I didn't fly into the room. I wasn't a golden person. I was an ordinary person that she could emulate. And you've seen parts of my life. I was raised in a foster home, and alcoholism and murders in my family. And yet, I could rise above this. People need to see that and understand it.
Walter Dean Myers, he died Tuesday at 76.